our trip. I very rarely go anywhere or do revivals or anything of that nature. I try to stay away from them. I'm not an evangelist by nature. I had a friend who happens to pastor my sister's church, and he's been begging me for a while, and I just had to finally say, okay, I'll do a few nights. And we had a wonderful time. We had several that God had touched. We had one person whose body was healed that he went to the doctor the next day for the tests, and they sent him home and said, don't come back for at least 10 years. So that was pretty good. I'm sure there'll be others, and it's just wonderful watching God do what God does. This morning, though, I've been looking forward to getting to this. This is our last sermon in this series. I know it's been kind of tough. It's been kind of long. You've had to do a lot of inner searching on all these sermons. For some of you, I hope that you've grown in this. I hope that you've taken on some of your feelings of feeling inferior, some of your feelings of guilt, or whatever it is that's attacked you, or whatever it is, loneliness, and whatever it is that seemingly holds you. There's certain places I can't take you myself. There's certain places that you have to go inside and you have to deal with the emotions. All I can do, when we created All Seasons many years ago and created this atmosphere and everything we do, from the altar service this morning to everything that goes on, understand what we did. We created an atmosphere for you to be able to deal with the things in your life, not just the outward things. Those are just pretty simple things. We have revivals and somebody gets, oh, I'm sorry, and we get. But I'm talking about the stuff that goes beyond just the leaves on your life and the stuff that actually is causing you to be stopped or is keeping you from moving forward or keeping you from trying for that new job. Or you've stayed in the same place because you're just scared of trying the next thing. And so I hope that over the years we've created a place where you can feel safe, where you can feel, you know what, even if I fall flat on my face, I know I got my church family. Even if I totally mess it up trying, I know I got my church family. So there really is no failure. You can only fall back into good arms. So it gives you encouragement to try, to step out, to do things that you normally wouldn't do. And this morning, we're going to deal with probably the biggest one of them all. As you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6, and there really is no scriptures I want to deal with from the Old Testament, even though we're using the whole story of the children of Israel and all of this. There is absolutely not one story, but all of the stories hold this. And what we're dealing with this morning is being worried and anxious. Look at the person beside you and ask them, do you ever deal with being worried? Do you ever have a little anxiety? Up until a short time ago, I didn't even know you could have anxiety attacks. I didn't know you could actually have a literal anxiety attack until there was people in my church and people I was praying for that began to come to me and say, look, I'm dying right here on the floor. And I'm thinking, you're not dying, but in your mind, your heart, your body, everything is telling you, you are dying. And your body is revolting against you. In our world today, there's probably nothing more that is a hindrance to what God wants to do than worry and anxiety. So this morning, well, Pastor, what is worry and anxiety? Well, let's give it a definition. It's your possessions and sense of security that have gotten on fire. It's when your possessions or your sense of security is on fire. Let me give it to you a little deeper. It's because of an anticipated loss. An anticipated loss of something of value to you. It's when your mind is telling you and your body is telling you, I am losing. Something is being taken away from me that is of value. It doesn't matter if it's your children. You may say, I'm just losing my kids. I'm losing my kids. Anything of value in your life. It can be your car. You could have paid too much for a car and get out in the morning and watch it sitting out there and the dew is on it and it rained on it last night and a tree limb, you thought afraid all night it was going to fall on it and you got up the next day and you're like, oh, that darn car, can't keep it clean. And now it's become a sense of anxiety. Because every time there's a storm, I'm trying to cover it. I'm trying to make sure it doesn't get damaged. It's value, and I feel like somehow and some way I'm losing. Something is always trying to take. Doesn't matter if it's your job. Anywhere in your life, whether it's your health, the doctor's giving you a bad report. And now, inside of me, I've got all this anxiety, all this worry that's building up because of the anticipated loss of something in my life. Some of us lose loved ones. Or we're in the process of losing a loved one. And it's driving us crazy. You know why? Because you worry too much. You live in anxiety. You feel like in your life something of value that belongs to me is being taken away. And it's eating me up on the inside. Somebody is taking my 401k. Somebody is robbing me of my happiness. Somebody is attacking something that is mine. Now I'm worried. Is it going to be today? Tomorrow? I can feel it. And we create in our lives anxiety. I've lived with this with my mom. My mom had claustrophobia, still does to a large degree. She still, if she gets in a pool, can't put her head underwater. Certain things she just can't do. She'll lose her breath. She'll tell you all the time, whenever we talk about riding on a boat or anything like that, and we talk about, well, you're not going to drown, Mama. She said, I'm not worried about drowning. She said, I'd be dead a long time before I drowned. She would have done shut down. It wasn't a matter of trying to breathe. She'd have just quit breathing altogether. She'd have turned blue and died. She'd have never got a drop of water in her mouth. She said, I'm not worried about drowning. But in her life, she would get to the point to where she could be in a car. And if a car is stopped in front of her at a red light and a car got behind her in the red light, it was all she could do. And many times she'd have to just open the door of her car and get outside. That's claustrophobia. They tried everything. The doctor said, here, take this medicine. Finally, she threw it out the window one day and said, look, if I'm going to die. And one doctor said it best to her. She said, Jane, she said, you're not going to die but one time. You may feel like you die 1,000 times, but you're not going to die but one time. And that's the way we feel. I'm dying again. And I'm dying over this. And this work is killing me. And my job is killing me. And my kids are killing me. And everything's killing me. I'm dying. I've died 1,000 times. And hadn't died once yet. All because of worry. All because of anxiety. It's when we feel like our possessions are being taken away. The word comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, which means wirgen. And it's a picture of this. When the picture is given, it's a picture of a dog holding a shoe and shaking it. That's the picture of anxiety. It's something has got a hold of me, and it's... And my insides and my soul, I'm not going anywhere. It just feels like something's tearing me apart, just shaking me violently. And you can't explain it. You can't tell anybody. It's like, well, just calm down. I know it sounds like you can just calm down, but I'm having a hard time just calming down. Take a deep breath. But you don't understand. It feels like something is shaking me violently on the inside. And you say, Pastor, can you get past this? Yes. Can you cure this? Can we walk out of here today and be without worry, without anxiety? Yes. 100% chance. But now it will require something from you. God spent all of that time with the Israelites in the desert. In fact, even before the desert. Heading up before even the plagues that were on Pharaoh. God spent all of this trying to do one thing for them, and that was to try to get them to the point to where they would trust Him. That's all it was. Everything God did, God could have easily just sent a plague and killed every Egyptian there was. Then why did God use all 10? Because God wanted to leave something out there, as we used to call it, I'm between a rock and a hard place. God uses the rock and the hard place parts of our life to try and teach us simply, trust me. Trust me. We just want it to go away, and God is saying, no, I'm not worried about the situation. I can cure that in a moment. In fact, He would say to Pharaoh, look, I'm going to bring another plague. Look, watch this. Look, I'm going to bring another plague. You're about ready to go? Okay, I'm fixing to bring the big one now. And Pharaoh's going to beg you to leave. No, he'll never do it. Yeah. You got to understand, I'm God. And if you ever watch the Ten Commandments, I love the Charlton Heston Ten, and Yul Brynner is Pharaoh. I used to love Yul Brynner. And I love the part where Moses is heading out and Yul Brynner is in the castle. His son is dead. Everything is gone wrong for him. The people have lost everything. The Israelites have got their stuff and they've run out of town and they're heading out. And report comes back to Yul Brynner, who is Pharaoh, where the Israelites are. And I love Yul Brynner's statement. If you ever go back and watch the movie, in his old voice he says, "Huh. Dear God, not a very good general. Leave them with no escape." One of the reasons Pharaoh went after them is because when he saw the direction that they went, I mean, he's sitting there in the castle, he's thinking, I don't know if we need to go after them or not. And then all of a sudden, news comes back, look, they're stuck at the Red Sea. They've carried all those people and they've gotten all the way between two mountains and the Red Sea. They're stuck. We can go and get our stuff back. Their God's not a very good general, is He? And God does that. He puts you in places. And the Israelites looked at Moses and like, why did you lead us here? We're going to die. And God takes them across. 2 days later, we're going to die of thirst. And God allows a tree to fall and that cures the water. We're going to die of hunger. And God sends food. And then God says, listen, I'm not going to let you starve. I'm not going to let you have problems. I'm not going to let you get too hot or too cold. In the daytime, I'm going to send a cloud that will keep the sun off of you so that you don't burn up in the desert. And at night, I'll send a fire. A fire, not one that you got to build, but I'll send a fire by night that will keep you just warm enough so you don't get too hot and too cold in the desert. I'm going to do this every day of your life. All I need from you is to trust me. Just trust me. We can't spend too much time with the Israelites because the problem is they never did. If Moses was gone too long, they build a calf. If things didn't go right after a day or two, oh, Lord, here we are. We're doing better if we just back in. Why? Because I'm familiar with that. At least there I know how it's going to go. Here, I don't know. Every day I'm living by faith and I'm just trusting God. And I don't like trusting God. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew, this sixth chapter, and beginning at verse 24. Doctors will tell you that anxiety and worry not only will steal your sleep, but it has a massive effect on your heart. Your entire nervous system can go haywire if you remain in anxiety too long. If you remain living nervous, worried, it'll affect every part of your health. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which means riches or wealth or property. Accumulated stuff. You can't serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now understand, every time I say this, I'm reading from the King James. But if you have a NIV or New King James or maybe even something a little more modern, it's going to translate that worry or anxiety. It'll probably use the word worry. Therefore I say unto you, take no worry for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet of your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature or unto your lifespan? And why take ye thought for raiment? Or why do you worry about raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, or do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherefore shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, or don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take care of the things of itself. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. How in the world, Brother Lott, do I get past this mindset of worry and anxiety? How am I going to get to where I can move forward and to not concentrate and not sit in front of a mirror and cry or let emotions totally damage or ruin my life? Number one is this. Trust God to care for you. That sounds so simple. But it's not as simple as you make it out to be. If it was, we wouldn't have any worry. If it was, we wouldn't worry about anything. We'd pray about that thing, let it go, and be done. Then why do we have so much problem, Brother Lott? It's because we really have a struggle trusting God to care for us. Listen to how He describes the birds in verses 25 through 27. He says, listen, look at the birds. The birds don't have a pantry. Birds don't store anything. Birds don't plow fields. They don't plant tomatoes in the spring. Birds don't worry about what the weather's going to be like. This hurricane this weekend is the biggest joke. Oh, but we were prepared. No, all you did was, once again, you made half the end of Mississippi and Florida just scared to death. People who live down there know there's going to be storms. Duh. But it's our nature to fret, to worry, to stress, to... We would build whole channels on the weather channel. I do not care what's happening in Idaho right now. There's a storm coming across Nebraska. More coverage in 15 minutes. And there's people that turn that on, that news on, all day and have it sitting there and it runs 24/7. Just so they can keep up with what did you hear about? Did you see? Man, did you see the news? Isn't that horrible? I'm going to tell you something. It's bad enough to worry about what happens in Mississippi. It's bad enough to worry about what happens in Forest. But when you try to take on the worries of the world, Did you hear what happened over there? Did you read about over there? No wonder we live our lives so anxious and because of what we fill our minds with, it's hard to fill it with trust. It's hard to allow God to come in and trust. Birds don't do this. He said, listen, birds sit on a limb. There's a story that was told many years ago, and he said it was two birds sitting on a limb and watching two people sitting down below. The birds were sitting up on the limb and they were just chilling. And there was this couple sitting at the bench and they were listening to them. And the couple was talking about how they had their car payment and how her job is fixed to cut back hours and he can't afford to do this and they can't afford to do that. And the house and the mortgage is fixing to go up because it's fixing to roll over again. And everything was going wrong. And the one bird looked over at the other and said, man, that must be rough. I am so glad we have a Heavenly Father that takes care of us. I couldn't imagine living like that. If birds could talk, they would look at you and they would say, what are you worried about? It ain't like you can make your heart beat. It ain't like you can add one day. Some of you stressing out about retirement, you won't even get there. Oh, I done made you worry again, hadn't I? I wonder if he sees that. I wonder if God revealed that to him. He was kind of looking my direction when he said it. Just the thought of something of value in our life being robbed from us, taken from us. We don't get full value for it. It just drives us crazy. He said, look at the flowers. He said, flowers grow up, and Solomon, with all of his wealth and all of his ships and bringing in everything he had, he was never dressed as beautiful. On Valentine's Day, nobody goes to the florist and buys a picture of Solomon. Here, I just want to give you a picture of Solomon today. No. What do? You go and buy weeds. That's what you're buying. You're buying weeds. But they smell good. And they're beautiful. But when God looks at them, He says, those are just weeds. They'll be dead in a couple days. You'll throw them in the garbage. And Solomon in all of his glory was never arrayed like just a pile of flowers. In all of his glory, he never looked that good. And God said, I made that just to last for just a split second. And it's here today, and it's gone, and it's... And then he says something after that that's very powerful. Verse 30, he says, let me see if I can break this down to you. Jesus is talking to people who worry about things, and they're not worried about the stuff a lot of times we do. We go home today, we know we got food, we can find, if you don't, I got plenty of it back in this pantry, I'll give you something. He was dealing with people that were actually worried about their food, and if their crop didn't come in, there was no government subsidies to be able to make sure they got through. It was all or nothing. So when these people were saying, listen, you don't understand, I'm worried about feeding my family, I'm worried about, they meant it. But even God looking at them said, don't worry. Jesus said, don't worry. I'll tell you what the problem is. Here's the problem. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into oven, shall He not much more clothe you? The question becomes, do you believe you can trust God? With your kids, with your job, with your future, do you believe you can trust God? And he makes a statement, O ye of little faith. I want to tell you what our problem is. Most of us in here are atheists. We're just atheists. Practical atheists. Not professing atheist, just practical atheist. We trust ourselves to take care of 99% of our life. Unless a doctor tells us something catastrophic. Unless something happens, like our gas hand goes just about to empty and it says we've only got 5 miles left and we know we got 10 miles to the gas station. Then all of a sudden we become a lot more godly, and as we're traveling on, we turn off the air conditioner, roll down the windows, and we pray, Lord, if you just let me get to the gas station this time. Now, I hadn't asked anything all day, because really I hadn't needed anything from you all day. It would be sad if it wasn't true. We get an opportunity once a day to talk to God at lunch, and we pass it to the other person. You get a chance to talk to God. Who's going to pray? I prayed last time. You don't really believe that God is listening to you. If you thought God was sitting at the table and fixing to hear your request, and you're sitting there going, I don't really want to talk to you. I'd rather Him talk to you. You want to tell me you believe in God? You're a practical atheist. You live your life on your own. Except for just moments of religious or moments of trouble or moments. You're no different than the Israelites. You're no different than anyone else. You're no different than the guy that doesn't go to church and doesn't believe in God, but let him get caught in a rainstorm in a boat and he'll become the biggest prayer warrior you ever seen. Oh God, I promise I'll quit drinking. I'll quit it if you'll just get me through. You're no different than the alcoholic that's hugging the commode on Friday night. If you won't let me die, God, I'll go to church this Sunday. You're a practical atheist. You'd rather play golf and go fishing than you would be with God. Because you don't trust Him. You don't trust Him to handle you. And it's sad, but it's the truth. But until you come to that truth, that you can't go any further. And that's what Jesus was saying. Listen, you can't say you love God. You can't say you have got little bitty faith. Your faith is not going to hold up. Your faith is not going to last. He had 12 guys with Him, and they had trouble with faith. Romans 14 and 23 says a real powerful thing. I know it's quiet in here right now. I want to get your attention. I can cure your worry, but you're going to have to be serious with yourself. If he that doubteth, and he that doubteth is what? Paul is saying, listen, I know there's a thing going around that all this food was been offered to idols, and before they cooked it, they put some little symbol over it or done something. And Paul's like, look, if I bless it, it's blessed. I ain't worried about it. I can pray over shrimp, lobster, catfish, anything. It's blessed. I like sushi. I really pray when I eat sushi. Raw oysters, love them. Eat them by the jar. But now here's the key. Here's the key. He that doubteth when he eats is what? He didn't say, well, now he's going to tick God off a little bit. It might hurt God's feelings. No, he said, listen, if you're a practical atheist, you know, you believe in God and all that, but you doubt when you eat it, then understand, it's damnation to you. That's not me saying it, that's the Apostle Paul. You ain't got to believe me, you ain't got to believe Scripture, you can believe your own self, I don't care. I'm just telling you what it says. If you don't believe something and you go ahead and do it, it's sin to you. Why? For whatsoever is not of faith is what? It's sin. I don't go to the casinos. It's sin to me. I don't drink. Because it's sin to me. There are a lot of things in my life I can do. Wonderful things. But there are some things that I know can't do that. Eating sushi, I can eat sushi. It don't bother me a bit. But here's the thing. Whatever is not of faith is sin in your life. Whatever you do without faith, if you bury somebody and you're going to sit there and whine and cry and complain, let me tell you something, you don't believe in the resurrection. You don't believe in it. You can't comfort one another with these words. You can't be like the Gentiles, or Paul tells us, don't be like the Gentiles, which have no faith. No, you have doubt in that area.
I don't know. I'm just hurting. I may never see them again.
Quit practicing atheism. Either trust Him or don't trust Him. I believe with all of my heart one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going to give an account for my life. I believe more than anything else, every person in this room will bow one day before Him. They will have to meet Him face to face, and you will be answering for your life. I believe that, and I can't help you. I can't save you. You have an opportunity right now to allow Him to be Lord and Master of your life. If you choose it, wonderful. You made the best choice in your life. If you don't, you're still going to meet Him. You're still going to give an account to who you slept with, how you lived, how you acted, how you talked, every GD you ever spoke. You're going to give an account. And you're going to give an account for where you went and how you acted and how you did. Why? Because everything that's not of faith is sin. God is not trying to hurt you when He puts all these worries and fears in you. What He's trying to do is sound an alarm that says, is there something not right? Is there something you're doing that isn't working? Is there some place you're at that you don't need to be? Is there a reason why you have to hide doing this right now? Could it be you're not proud of who you are? Feel a little sweaty right now? Used? Might be sin. Might bring on worry and anxiety. Worry is sin. Whatever is not faith is one writer wrote it this way, one great minister said, faith ends where worry starts. They can't walk together. You can't pray for a miracle and then at the same time say, well, I don't know if it'll happen or not. Faith ends where worry starts. And whatever's not of faith, can we get serious? I'm not mad at you. Look at the person beside you and say, Pastor's not mad at us. Not mad at you. I'm trying to cure your problem. You know, the person that sits around not happy all the time, the person that worries all the time, the person that feels like, oh, I don't know what I do. I'm telling you what, I hate to go to the mailbox. I'm trying to cure your problem. Here's what you say. Here's why it is sin. Because you're saying three things to God when you worry. Number one, you're saying this. God, you're not aware of what's going on. God, you're not aware of what's going on. You don't see what's happening. I'm in this thing by myself. Nobody sees it but me. You ever sit there and worry about your job, worry about your kids, worry about your life, worry about your future, and think, nobody sees this but me. Nobody cares but me. God, you're not aware. Psalms 139. I want to read something. This is what held David together. Psalms 139, verses 2 through 4. You need to write it down. It's raining. You don't have to go nowhere. Here's what David said. Verse 1 says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting down and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. You think you're alone? You think God's not aware? God knows what's fixed to come out of your mouth next. God knows what you mean when it comes out. God knows you. No use in pretending. No use in trying to think He doesn't care. He's not around or He's on vacation. God is aware of your life. Well, okay, Brother Lott. Maybe He is out there somewhere, you know, that He's kind of like that God. He's out there and He put the world in motion. And then when He put the world in motion, He kind of stepped back and we're all responsible for our own thing. Well, you're moving into number two, which is you're saying that God doesn't care. Well, God may know what's going on, but He doesn't care. If He cared, He wouldn't have let this happen. If He cared, He wouldn't put me in this place. If He cared... See, the Israelites were always struggling with that. Is there a God? If there was, He wouldn't have put us here at the Red Sea. If there was a God, He wouldn't have put us here where there wasn't no fresh water. If there was a God, He wouldn't have put us right here where there's no food. If there was a God, He wouldn't put us in this position and go through this. No, no, there is a God. And He is aware. And He does care. In fact, He says it specifically. Cast all your cares upon Me, for He careth for you. The problem is I don't want to throw all my cares there. The problem is I don't want to trust Him there. He's inviting me to. He's saying, look, Tim, throw everything on me. Throw your future on me. Throw everything on me. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what I'd do if I actually slept at night. I'm so used to not sleeping, worrying half the night. You sure you can stay awake and handle this? I care about you. I care about you. Yeah, but why did it? I care about you. Trust me. Because if you don't, you're saying the third thing to God. God, let's be honest. You're really not able to handle this. When I handle my own problems, all I'm telling God is, you're not able to handle this. When I go and try to find my own happiness, I'm telling God, you can't make me happy. Every time I worry about something, I'm telling God, God, I have to handle this. I have to tote this. I have to deal with this because you're not able to. You're not strong enough, God, to handle my wife's... You're not strong enough to handle this disease. You're not strong enough to handle all that I'm going through. You're just not strong enough, God. I have to carry this. I have to carry this, God, because you're just not able. Ephesians 3 and 20. Go there with me. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh. Now what's that working in us? I've preached this before. What's working in us is our faith. That power that's working in us is the Holy Spirit rising. So here's the thing. God says, I'm able, but if you don't trust me and you don't act out in faith, then I can't do what I need to do in your life. You are locking me down. Because you don't trust me and you're saying, listen, I don't want you to work through me. I don't want you to do this. I don't think you can handle this. You're telling God He's not able. You're not able to deliver me off drugs. You're not able to keep me safe. You're not able to handle my problems. You're not able. Worry, when it comes, tells God, first off, God, can I trust you to care for me? Number two is this. Let God then, if you want to live, you're going to first have to trust that God can handle you. You're going to have to trust Him. Let it go. And then number two is this. Let God be the owner of everything you have. If you want to be happy in life, let God own everything you have. I don't own my wife. God owns her. I don't own my kids. God owns them. I don't own my job. God owns it. I don't own all seasons. God owns it. Everything in my life, the reason I can go without worry and stress and make it and keep moving forward is simply this. I don't own anything. John Wesley's house once burned down. And a man come running to him. He was preaching at the time. And after the sermon he said, Mr. Wesley, your house. John Wesley looked at him and smiled. He said, son, I don't own a house. He said, but your house burned down. He said, I don't own a house. He said, God's house burned down. That's God's problem. That's God's car that broke down. That's God's marriage that needs to be fixed. See, whatever you own. Because remember now, what's the definition of worry? It's when your possessions, and your security are on fire. It's because of an anticipated loss of something you value. The only way you get hurt, the only thing you're worried about is something you think you own. That's my kid, that's my marriage, my mom, my job, my house, my car. Somebody hit my car. Somebody robbed my house. Somebody stole my stuff. You get it? What do you own? What's yours? It's my life. Ooh, that's a heavy load to tote. Your life, since you can't even add 1 inch to it, you can't even make hair grow on it. But it's your life. That's a lot of worry. What's going to happen to me? My life, my future. I don't own it. I don't have to worry about it. Whatever you consider of value, that you feel an anticipated loss. Notice what verse 32 says. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. First, if I don't trust Him, then He's not my Heavenly Father. But if I trust Him and He's my Heavenly Father, then I have one assurance, is that He owns it all. He possesses it all. I don't own anything. Whatever it is you own will become the source of your greatest worry. It'll become the source of your greatest worry. And the enemy will heap and heap and heap stress on that area. Number three. If you can get to the point to where you trust Him and you've given everything over to Him in ownership, then all you have to do is serve Him. Just serve Him. See, I serve somebody who owns everything. That means anything I have need of, He can bring it into my possession at any time He decides I need it. That's a pretty good way of living. God owns it all. I'm just living life. And as I'm living life, whatever it is, He feels it. Tim, I want you to have this. I always go back to Mother Teresa and that one phrase she tells that guy when she's wanting to buy the old condemned hospital that later will become one of the greatest missionary areas in the world. She comes to him and she says, I want to this hospital and I want it for this and I want it. And he looks at her and he says, that'll never work. People aren't going to come and to this broken down part of India and do all this. And she just smiles. She says, if God thinks it's a good idea, it will work. If God doesn't think it's a good idea, then He'll do something else. I like that. It's somebody who understood who owned it. If God decides, hey, nothing can stop Him. He opens doors that nobody can open, and He closes doors nobody can close. You can trust Him. You can lean on Him and depend on Him. You can count on Him. And you can serve Him knowing that He will always take care of those that are His. It's not a day in my life. I'm not going to say there haven't been moments I hadn't thought we'd getting awful close. It's not a day in my life God hasn't met every need. How do you know? Because I'm still here. How do you know God's met every need so far in your life? You didn't die. You didn't starve to death. You may have fouled it up along the way some. You may still be fighting against Him in other areas. But He hadn't left you yet. He hadn't given up on you yet. He hadn't stopped loving you yet. Why? Because He doesn't. Listen how He says it in Scripture. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And some of these things shall be added unto you. What does it say? Look at the person beside you and say, all the stuff you can't handle will be given. That's pretty simple. Seek God first. Be His servant. Serve Him. Go after righteousness. Live right. Live the way you're supposed to. And leave the rest to God and His right. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow. Don't worry about next year. You probably won't be here. Don't worry about everything. Don't get me wrong. If you want to start planning a vacation and say, boy, if God allows me to live, I'd love to go there. That's wonderful. But don't say, I'm going here. I'm going. Because it's going to get awful disappointing when you don't get to do what you want to do because you don't own it and you're not in control and God didn't allow it to happen. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil. The evil thereof. Here's what God understands. God understands that if He told you just the next 6 months, the people in your life that would die, the people in your life that would break your heart, the jobs that you might lose, or the situations and circumstances that might happen, you couldn't handle it. You know why? Because you weren't built for worry. But if God says, I don't want to put it on you, but now, I'll never put more on you than you can bear, Well, but God, I think I can handle a lot more. And I'm just going to worry about this problem for the next 6 months. And I'm going to worry about this problem for the next 6 months. And I'm going to worry about this problem for the next 6 months. And I'm going to worry about my family for the next 6 months. And I'm going to worry. God can't stop you from doing that. But understand, you weren't built for it. So don't get surprised when you're not happy anymore, when you don't have no joy anymore, when Sunday rolls around and you got no... Man, I can't wait. Why? Because if you're already worried about Monday and what happened last Friday and what's going to happen next, then you've already passed Sunday and you hadn't even enjoyed it yet. I can't tell you how many people I meet on Sunday morning sitting right here all over. Brother Lott, can I talk to you about something? I got this coming up next week. Well, that's next week. A lot can happen in 24, 48, 60, 72 hours. God might step into that. But you can't even enjoy church this morning because you're worried about what's going to happen 72 hours from now. What could happen, might happen. Guys, listen to me. The Israelites never entered into Canaan, not that group, because they never could trust Him. Because worry and anxiety, every time something started to go wrong, they turned from God and carried it themselves. You ever get that thought? And I'll just ask you honestly. You ever get that thought? Sometimes I just wish I'd just go back the way it was. You know where that comes from? The same things the Israelites did. They were toting so much. I don't even know why I go to church anymore. They were toting so much, I don't know if God's going to come through or not. They were toting so much that it robbed them of the very God that was putting fire and clouds and food. If you're not careful, you'll get so overwhelmed with worry and anxiety, you'll forget that God provided your food today. God gave you clothes today. God gave you a place to sleep last night. God did that. But it won't bring no joy if all you're thinking about is what hasn't come yet. Let the problems of today be enough. If you got something to eat today? If you got somewhere to keep from getting rained on today? If you got a ride back home today? Then you've had a good day. Tomorrow? Oh, it'll come. And it'll bring its own set of problems. Mine do. I'm always one phone call away. But I'm not worried about it today. I can't worry about it right now. Right now, God's done everything to get me to here. What about you? When you leave here today, can you say, Pastor, I'm not worried. God's got this. Why? Because I trust Him. He owns everything, including me. And my job in life is just to serve Him. Just serve Him. Let Him handle the big stuff. If you do that, you can walk out of here today with no worry at all. If you walk out of here today, you're going to figure it out yourself. Good luck. I'll see you the next miserable life you run into, problem, situation. Next good idea you get. Those are always nice. Get to hear your story. If you walk out of here today and say, Brother Lott, I trust Him. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to live right. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know the way it's going to work out. It's not my responsibility. But I trust Him. He owns me and He owns everything I have. And I'm going to serve Him. You a happy person. And I promise you this, you will be blessed because all these things will be added unto you. Will you stand? I hope this series, I know I hadn't run, jumped. Next week I'll be back to kicking and spitting and hollering. But there's no sermons I'll ever preach that will be more powerful than what I've shared with you. Because it doesn't matter how much you try to convince your outside to smile, if there's always something broken on the inside, it's hard to keep it. I always used to wonder that. I used to have great services. And, man, I'd pray with people on the altars. And Tuesday, would you hear about so-and-so? I think, I just prayed with them Sunday. What happened? It's the inside. Guys, if it's loneliness, insecurities, inferiority, or if like today, you just feel like, Brother Light, I worry. I'm always stressed. I get anxious. I feel like I'm 8 days behind. Listen to it. It's an alarm going off in your life telling you something's not right. Something's out of line. It's trying to tell you, reevaluate. Look inside. Find what's broken. Well, I can't fix it. You don't have to. You find it and say, God, this is me. And God's going to look down and say, I knew that before you found it. I just needed you to turn it over to me. I can't tell you how many things in my life God has found before I found it. And when I found it, I had a choice. I could hide it. Well, I'm just not going to deal with that. Or I could bring it here. And I could say, God, I'm broke. I deal with inferiority. I struggle with it. God, loneliness. I have problems there. God, I don't trust you like I should. God doesn't get mad at me. God says, Tim, now we can deal with the real stuff. We can deal with the stuff that's holding you back. Israel never would. Israel never would. But I hope you will. Will you pray? Father, God, thank you for letting us go into this. I hope that this series of sermons somebody can put on their CDs and drive in their car, and they can actually evaluate themselves. They can keep a check on what's going on inside. And they can live happy, healthy lives that walk with you. And they get to go into their Canaans. They don't have to live in a wasteland their whole life. They don't have to die in a wasteland wondering, well, I wish I could have just got over that, if I could have just got past that. God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, for all those that you're going to touch through this. And I praise you now. Amen. God bless you.